degrees. I'm living in sweet Virginia breeze.
This is Louis Rogers, founder and CEO of Capital Square Realty Advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. Capital Square sponsors tax-advantaged real estate investments. First, Section 1031 exchange programs for tax deferral. Capital Square's 1031 exchange programs use the Delaware Statutory Trust, or DST, structure we have discussed in prior shows. The DST structure has been approved by the IRS and Treasury in a published revenue ruling. Second, Opportunity Zone funds for tax deferral and exclusion of capital gains under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. By investing in a qualified Opportunity Zone fund, investors can defer and permanently exclude capital gains from any asset, stocks, businesses, other assets, and even real estate. And a real estate investment trust, a REIT as we call it, to acquire apartment communities from the Southeast to Texas for stable income and growth. The first REIT property is in Midlothian, not far from Capital Square's headquarters in Richmond. REITs are an excellent vehicle for regular folks to invest in real estate. And the icing on the cake, REIT dividends are tax favored. Capital Square is the investment manager and sponsor of 95 investment programs with over 130 properties nationwide. That equates to well over $3 billion of real estate. In Virginia, Capital Square sponsors and manages 17 properties for DST 1031 programs with an investment cost of approximately $1 billion. These programs are designed primarily for Section 1031 exchange investors. And 4 Opportunity Zone projects in the Scotts Addition neighborhood of Richmond, designed for investors seeking to defer and exclude capital gains of any type under the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Look at the construction cameras on Capital Square's website to see the activity. It's amazing. New projects are coming out of the ground with the first tenants taking possession this fall. New Class A apartments with mixed-use retail components. It's amazing. Look at the web cameras. Capital Square on Virginia. We have numerous new acquisitions in the pipeline and will continue to invest aggressively in Virginia. Everyone, please welcome Professor Robert McNabb to the Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors. First, should I call you Professor, Robert, or Bob?
Bob will work. Thank you.
Great, Bob. Wonderful. Background, you're a professor at ODU. If you would, for our audience, please give us a little background on your background.
Well, I came to ODU in 2016. I was previously on the faculty of the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California for 16 years. I typically work on public finance issues, so taxation, spending, regional economic development, and occasionally get calls to do economic impact studies to look at how public spending or private spending might affect the economy.
That is great. And if you would, you're the director.
I am currently the director of the Dragas Center for Economic Analysis and Policy in the Strome College of Business here at Old Dominion University. We produce the State of the Commonwealth report, which just came out in December, which discusses the Virginia economy and also explores special topics every year. For example, this year we talked about casinos and the potential economic impact of casinos on the economy of the Commonwealth. We also produce an annual report on the economy down here in the Hampton Roads region, as well as national, state, and local economic forecasts.
That is very exciting. I came across your article in the Richmond Times-Dispatch called The Virginia Way for the Commonwealth, and we'll get to the Virginia Way in a minute. I wish everyone could be civil and we could all treat ourselves with respect in the Virginia Way. But first, if you would, I'm looking at the 2021 State of the Commonwealth report. It's roughly 166 pages. I've tried to read it every day for the last week, and I've read it front to back, sideways and forward. But what is the State of the Commonwealth report?
The State of the Commonwealth Report is a compilation, one might say, a discussion, an invitation for people to have a data-driven view of the Virginia economy and how the Virginia economy is driven by growth at the metro level. That is, if we think about the Commonwealth, it is a combination of activities in Richmond, in Virginia Beach, Norfolk, Newport News, in Northern Virginia, Charlottesville, and so on. And it's not just Northern Virginia driving the entire Commonwealth, it's the sum of the activities across these regions. Now, one of the things we continue to point is how economic activity and population are increasingly concentrated in the urban crescent, which is formed by Northern Virginia, Richmond, and Hampton Roads, and how that creates challenges for equitable economic development for policymakers in Richmond, but also at the local level across Virginia.
Where would our audience find this 166-page masterpiece?
Well, if they want to eat the bite of the elephant one at a time, you could find it at our website for the Dragon Center. You could just Google State of the Commonwealth 2021. It'll usually show up one of the first links, or you could always go and Google Dragon Center at ODU, and that'll take you there also.
That is great. It's a valuable tool. My firm, Capital Square, is in the real estate business. We invest in multifamily apartments, medical properties, and industrial properties. And the economy drives real estate. The Commonwealth Report is very helpful in giving us data points to try to project where next to invest. It's really an exciting time to be in the Commonwealth of Virginia. First, we're special. We'll talk about the Virginia Way in a minute. I keep thinking about how nice it would be if our politicians in Washington had the Virginia Way and some civility, but that's asking for too much. But it's a very exciting time. I have on my desk the CNBC report. Virginia is the number one state for business 2 years in a row. And then recently, Business Facilities Magazine awarded us one of the top business climates. And it really excites me because Capital Square invests all over the country, Virginia through the Southeast, Texas and Tennessee, but not Texas, not Florida, not North Carolina, but Virginia is the number one state for business. So let's look at the 2021 State of the Commonwealth report to answer some of the questions raised by CNBC in their ratings. And if we could, let's start with one of the most important categories, education. Well, first, the categories. I don't want to skip over the categories. Cost of doing business, that's one where we haven't done so well. Governor-elect Youngkin was on the show before the election, and he was concerned that it was too costly to do business in Virginia. Infrastructure, life, health, and inclusion, workforce, I'm just going to go through all these categories. The economy, business friendliness, access to capital, technology and innovation, cost of living. That was one that concerned the governor-elect, and then education. And let's start off with education. It's Virginia's strongest category. We're a close second to perennial leader Massachusetts. If you would, tell us about education in the Commonwealth and how it supports the economy.
Well, if you think about the economy and you ask yourself what drives economic growth in the long term, we would tend to argue that wise investments in K through 12 education and then higher education provide a workforce that is aligned with the needs of employers. That's the goal of education, right? You want people not only to gain general knowledge and how to be a good citizen and how to communicate with others and essentially play nicely with others, but you want them to gain specific skills that are in demand with the employers. That's a continual challenge, especially for higher education, because the employers' needs change over time. The workplace is a dynamic place. So Virginia has actually done relatively well compared to other states in adapting its curriculum over time towards data-driven measures of performance. We have the standards of learning, for example, that provides objective measures, as best as we can measure student performance, on how well students are doing in the Commonwealth. But we have to always be careful, because just because the average says we're doing well doesn't mean that everybody is doing well, right? Everybody is not above average. The challenge we have going forward is, one, how do we ensure that we have an adequate level of education for students bound for college? But as important, how do we ensure technical education and career education for those students who do not want to go to college, that want to go and become an electrician or a plumber? A welder, et cetera. Because what we have fallen into is sort of a trap, I would argue, is the story that everybody should go to college, get a job, yet the skilled trades offer very, very good career prospects and high levels of income, and don't necessarily need initially a college degree. Now, along the way, you may get an associate's and then a bachelor's further on down in your career if you're moving into management. But looking at apprentice types of programs, looking at trade promotion programs, looking at ways individuals who can move out of high school into the practical trades is something that Virginia has talked about and is something we should continue to invest in over the coming years.
Something like the apprentice school at the shipyard?
Exactly. The apprentice school at the shipyard is one of the national models in the United States about how individuals coming out of high school move into a four-year program that combines classroom experience with practical experience, literally at the shipyard. So when they come out, if they're successful in the classroom and in the practicum, they have a job and they have a skill, but that skill is also portable in other elements of the advanced manufacturing sector in the Commonwealth. And if you listen to what not only the governor who is leaving office has been saying, but the governor-elect has been saying, it's these advanced manufacturing jobs that are going to be important, because everybody's not going to be in IT and data analytics and cybersecurity. We have to have a portfolio of economic development in the coming years, and part of that portfolio depends upon our ability in the K-12 education system and beyond of getting people who want to be in the trades into those workforce gaps and filled.
Good. Let's take two examples. One very high profile, Amazon's headquarters number 2 in Northern Virginia. Virginia Tech really stepped up to the plate. What are they investing? $1 billion in education, because Amazon insisted on a highly trained workforce, not just now, but for 10 and 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you think about the Amazon headquarters, yes, it's a great success in terms of the number of jobs that will be created over time in Northern Virginia. But the spillover effects are likely to be even more significant. That is, firms that are deciding to co-locate in the Amazon ecosystem, and those firms, when they come to Virginia and or are created in Virginia, will need talented employees to fill the ranks. So the question is, where are those people going to come from? One of the challenges facing Virginia right now is we have an outflow of residents to other states. If you look at the census data, it suggests that Northern Virginia and down here in Hampton Roads are really the drivers in terms of out-migration in Virginia, but for different reasons. One might argue that in Northern Virginia, it's the cost of living, and so people are seeking a higher quality of life and moving elsewhere, and some of them are moving, for example, to the Winchester metro area and becoming super commuters. In Hampton Roads, it's relatively poor private sector growth, so people may be moving out of Hampton Roads in search of improved economic opportunities, jobs elsewhere.
Very interesting, exciting times, and a lot of multiplier effect, I'm hoping, in Northern Virginia, where we have a number of apartment communities that we'd like to keep full with increasing rents over time.
Well, if you think about Northern Virginia, and actually, if you look at the metro areas in Virginia, rents have continued to increase during the COVID-19 recession and recovery faster in some parts than single family housing. And so we have this challenge in terms of affordable housing. It's also an opportunity in terms of business investment, where we're seeing people developing multifamily properties and finding them filling and very quickly and with significant returns on investment over time because of the drop in single family construction following the Great Recession of 2007 to 2009.
Yes. There's a shortage of housing, and it's driving rental increases. Our economic professor, Dr. Peter Linneman, tells us that it's the golden age of multifamily investing for a number of reasons. We're spending a lot of time on education, but it really, in the modern world, education drives a lot of the economy. I'm thinking of a local example, maybe not as well known, but there's a company called CoStar. They're a data company on the New York Stock Exchange. Andy Florence is the CEO. And he has a very nice headquarters in Bethesda, very expensive place. And when the time came to have a second headquarters, he elected to place it in Richmond, downtown Richmond, Virginia. The reason he went to Richmond was the cost of living. For the same $60,000 starting pay for his young employees in Northern Virginia, D.C., nothing was left at the end of the year. In Richmond, they have higher quality of living, a nicer apartment, happier lifestyle, and money left over at the end of the day. And so his initial 500 or 600 or 700 employees, now 1,000 employees, college graduates, insisted on college grads. So CoStar is really driving our Richmond economy.
Yeah, and we see this time and time again. There are two parts to economic development, that people follow jobs in the longer run, and jobs follow people also. And what does that mean? If we look at the case of Hampton Roads, if we look at the case of Southwestern Virginia, we see out-migration. We see people leaving these areas in search of better economic opportunities, right? There's not a lot of job growth, so that drives population out-migration. When you have high job growth and lots of opportunities, then you attract talent, which then creates more jobs, and you get a virtuous cycle of economic development. We can look at Richmond, we can look at Northern Virginia, we can look down the Raleigh and Charlotte, that once you get this virtuous cycle of economic development going, it feeds upon itself and generates higher rates of growth over time.
Absolutely. Capital Square has a number of apartment communities being built in Scott's Addition in Richmond and also in Raleigh. And we expect it's going to be filled with young millennial workers, as well as aging baby boomers like me, who want to, you know, empty nesters, and they want to live in an inner city, vibrant place
and instead of in the suburbs. I understand this completely. My wife and I are 5 to 7 years before our youngest is out of the house. We're already saying, well, what are we going to do? Do we still want to live in this very large house when it's just the two of us? And our thing is that when we get to our 60s, we're going to want to downsize. We're going to want to go to a condo or an apartment where we don't have to weed the yard or or travel far to work. And that's happening on a much larger scale right now in the United States. And so when we hear talk of the Great Resignation, for example,
yes,
it's not driven by expanded unemployment benefits, which was the argument back in the summer of 2021. The most recent data is showing that labor force participation is dropping amongst those nearest the retirement age. In other words, people 60 to 65 are using the pandemic as a, I'm done, I'm gone. I've got enough equity, I'm out of here.
I thought the boomers wanted to work forever, never retire.
They said that in their 30s and 40s, and once they got to their 50s and they saw stock portfolio gains in their 60s, they're realizing maybe it's time to cash out and do something else.
Well, it's good for business. That's for sure. It drives the economy.
If you are in multifamily housing right now, you have inflows of young individuals who are constrained about moving into single-family residential housing because single-family residential housing prices have gone up, and you have baby boomers who are retiring and downsizing out of those homes into multifamily housing, which is increasing demand with constrained supply. So I guess that's good for return on investment.
It's very good. Very good. As an aside, Capital Square has been 99% rent collected. We're now 11,000 apartment communities, Virginia through the Southeast and Texas. And 99% of our residents had no issues in the pandemic. 1% had a challenge, and we worked with them. And we had, in many cases, a government program that helped them. So it's been very stable because housing is a necessity, unlike, say, the mall. You don't have to go to the mall. But adults want a roof over their heads. They can't live on the couch forever. Even millennials and the Gen Zs that are coming up and starting to get jobs don't want to live in their parents' homes or on the couch forever. Unemployment segues into a not so pleasant topic, the COVID-19 pandemic. It seems that Virginia got it right. We have the lowest death toll in the South. We're largely vaccinated, but the economy is still lagging. Is that because of the great resignation of people who don't want to work? Or is there something else going on why the economy is lagging when there's demand? There's just not supply of labor to fill it.
Mm. So to frame the conversation, we have to actually go back to a time prior to COVID. And that may seem like a decade ago to your listeners, because every time we turn around, it's COVID this, COVID that. But we have to avoid recency bias, right? We have to avoid the most recent thing dominating our perspective. If we look at Virginia's economic performance the decade prior to the COVID-19 recession, it lagged that of the United States. And what do I mean? It means if we look at growth in jobs, growth in individual employment, growth in gross domestic product, Virginia was lagging behind the United States.
Thank you for joining today's episode of The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square. It has been a record year at Capital Square. In just the first half of the year, Capital Square acquired $565 million of real estate for 1031 exchange, DST programs, Opportunity Zone funds, and the Apartment REIT. The firm will acquire well over $1 billion of real estate this year for investment programs. And several investment programs have been taken full cycle. That is, when their properties have been sold, and many have been sold for record prices. This year has been off the chart for real estate investment in spite of the pandemic. For more information about Capital Square, contact me at lrogers@capitalsquare1031.com or 877-626-1031. Please join me, Lewis Rogers, same time next week when we discuss cutting-edge real estate topics of interest locally and nationally. Invest locally, invest nationally, invest with Capital Square on a tax-advantaged basis.
Sweet Virginia Breeze. Sweet Virginia Breeze. The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Lewis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk.
in the sweet Virginia.